We thank the Lord that we can come to you with the second lesson on the Comforter. We're reading out of John chapter 14 and verse 26. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That is a powerful, wonderful, precious verse. We know who the Comforter is. Number one, Jesus said he is the Holy Ghost. Who is going to get him to us? The Father will send him. How and why will the Father send him? He will send him to you in my name. That is, on my account, or to perfect my work. That's what he's there to do. And we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, another word, the only time that this word comforter is translated any different. He says he is our advocate. I don't think I got the right verse. Let's see. Anyhow, the only time that the Greek word is not translated comforter, it's translated advocate. You need to look that up because I got the wrong verse written down here. But he is the advocate. We have an advocate with Jesus Christ, and that is he is the comforter for us. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. God the Father and God the Son are one and the same. God the Son and God the Spirit and God the Father are one and the same. The Trinity, yet just one God. And yet it says the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus says, another Comforter will the Father send you. What do you mean another one? Like unto the first. Who was the first? The Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all one and the same. Now, let me read you something in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In verse number 1, and it's really eye-opening, and it's really sad. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and verse number 1, and this is Solomon speaking. So I returned, I have done this before, and I'm going to come back and do it again, and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. This is in the old economy. This is before the sending of the Holy Spirit. They had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. The devil was powerful. He was the god of the world. He ruled in the entirety of the world, and God allowed it to be so. You need to be thankful for the day and age you live in. Wherefore, I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. I saw these people with no comforter. I said, it'd be better to be dead now than to have to be without a comforter as these people are. Verse 3, yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been. In fact, it's better to never have been born than to be dead or to be involved in these people who are not comforted, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. So there was one speaking about how terrible it was to be without a comforter. Well, dear soul, you know the same thing if you understand and perceive the difference between when you were lost and when after God saved you. They were without God and without hope in the world. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Holy Spirit, giving us the revelation and instruction and interpretation of God and living in us. And he shall be with you and shall be in you and giving you understanding about things. And we need to quit grieving him. We need to quit quenching him. If God grants you peace and everybody else is squalling, enjoy your peace and don't throw it away and say, well, I've got to cry too because that's what. No, go with the Holy Spirit. Do what he says to do. Well, everybody else says this this religion or this preacher or this doctrine is the way it is. And the Holy Spirit don't give you that authority and don't give you that ability. Get away from them. I read you in the last of the lesson this morning, or in the first lesson, how that we are to come outside the camp bearing his reproach. What was the camp? It was Jerusalem. It was the scribes and Pharisees. It was the ancient religion that had been the only religion. Jesus came outside of that. And dear soul, if you're going to have him, you've got to go outside of all that and go out and meet him. There's just one name given unto heaven among men whereby you must be saved, Jesus. And as I was discussing with a brother a few minutes ago, this pandemic has separated us from all religion and from all fellowship. And what does that? You say, well, it's terrible. No, it's a blessing. Because then you only have one name that you can trust in and fellowship with, and that's Jesus. You say, but I'm so alone, I don't feel it. Faith. This is the way. Walk ye therein. Listen and perceive and develop yourself as being sensitive to the revelation of the Spirit of God within you. Let me read you something. Proverbs chapter 6. The book of Proverbs. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay, dad said do this. Mama said don't do that. I'm going to do it. Okay. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Okay. It's going to be my guiding instruction through my life, what my mom and my daddy told me. But what if your mom and daddy dies? Listen at the next verse. When thou goest, when you live out your daily life, it shall lead thee, listen, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Did you get it? What your mom and daddy told you during your life, it will lead you. When you're asleep, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. How can that be? The Holy Spirit. There's a voice behind thee that says, this is the way, walk ye therein. Excuse me. Got a dry throat. When you are under godly parents or godly instructors, you say, well, I'm going to do what they say, and it's very simple. Just obey them. But you got to understand and realize that God is the one that gave you that instruction through them. And when it comes to the place to where you don't have them anymore and you are separated unto God, like we are during this pandemic, what do? You say, this is what I prayed for. Bring me, Lord, bring me to yourself. Okay, he has. How you doing? Well, I'm fussing because I don't like it. I want to be over there where we can fellowship together. They're so, us fellows ain't in the right ship when we think God is not worthy to be had at the expense of our personal and public fellowship. We need to seek the Lord. And to do so, we need to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's finish out this message with two things. It is really one thing shown in two ways. What is the one thing? The necessity of the Comforter. Why is the Holy Spirit needful? The necessity of the Comforter. John 16, verses 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. howbeit. Now look that word up. Howbeit is the word notwithstanding in Matthew 2:22. It's the word nevertheless in Matthew 14:9. Howbeit, nevertheless, notwithstanding, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, wait a minute. Verse 12, I am the truth, but I can't give you anything else. Why? It was not that there was anything wrong with Christ. It was that the disciples couldn't hear it, and they couldn't bear it. The last thing they asked him was a wrongful question in Acts chapter 1 just before he was taken up into heaven. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You got so much stinking thinking in you because of religion. And religion is so misinterpreted the things of God that you don't realize how wrongful we are in our thinking because religion has misguided us. So Jesus said, far as I can go, going as far as I can go, can't tell you anything else, because you can't bear it. You say, oh no, what's going to happen to us? Well, nevertheless, howbeit, when the Spirit of God has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, so we don't need any more Bible. We got the Bible completed, and there's God's stamp of approval on it. And he says, listen, don't you dare add anything to it or take anything away from it. If you take anything away from it, I'll take your part out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, well, okay, then it's full, it's complete, yes. All right. But this is where all religion comes from. They all got their Bibles. How in the world did we wind up with all this mess? It's because they lack the Holy Spirit and have come up with that which sounds right and sounds good in their own minds. And now we've got all this junk in the world, and the world's sick of it. I don't blame them. But they're throwing out the baby with the bathwater and saying, I don't believe in God because I went to, you know, Catholic school all of my life, and I found out that that ain't right with me. It don't sit right with me. And so they throw out everything. But dear soul, the way you don't throw out everything, you will throw out everything that you need to throw out and come out from among him and, you know, be a separate people, and I will be your God. And you need to come outside the camp bearing the reproach of Christ. What is that reproach of Christ? Not being involved in religious orders, but just being involved with God. What is salvation? This is salvation. John 17:1-3, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. A friend of ours, mother, just passed away this past week, and she was in a hospice. And at the end, she wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink, couldn't talk, and showed no activity at all. What was going on? It was 2 days before she actually died. What was going on within her? What was she thinking? She was alive, but she was not able to communicate with anybody. And I've been involved with people and sat in the room with them when they drew their last breath. And they came down to the end and they were just like this woman. Let me ask you this. Who is going to be your help in that hour? How are you going to live? You say, well, I'll read my Bible. She couldn't read. She couldn't even hold a Bible. Dear soul, you need to understand that the majority of religious performance that we have had in our life has schooled us against knowing God personally. We know religious order, but we need to come outside the camp and bear his reproach. And so we see that it's the Holy Spirit shall guide you into all truth. Christ is gone. Horrible. We can't get him back. He said, you're going to yearn for a day of the Son of Man, but you're not going to get it. Well, God gave you something better. Listen, when he was in Jerusalem, you might have been over here in Bethany. Or when he was in Bethany, you might have been over here in Jericho. It didn't mean because Jesus was on earth and you was on the earth at the same time that you were in his presence and getting everything from God. Even then, dear soul, you need to understand and see that the only agent, and I'm speaking of the Holy Spirit, who has access to every single believer without exception in the entire world, no matter where they are, is the Holy Spirit. So you need, I need, we all need to become better acquainted with the presence and the purposes of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. They shall all be taught of God. He shall teach you all things. But whatsoever he shall hear. Now that really intrigues me. Let me finish the sentence. I'm reading John 16 and verse 13. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The only thing the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and make you understand and perceive and know is that which he hears. That's amazing that the Holy Spirit has ears to hear, not physical, but he has sensitivity to the mind and purposes of God the Father and God the Son. I'm going to take up where Jesus left off. He shall take of mine and show it unto you. He shall bring you all truth, but I'm through. I can't teach you anything else. You can't bear it. We need to go on into something different. We need to have everything made new. Old things pass away. The devil cast out of heaven has no more authority. And we need Judaism and all this destroyed and let the Roman armies come in and destroy Jerusalem and tear this whole thing down and let the Holy Spirit begin to build up the revelation of God in truth and faith. He shall teach you what he shall hear. Thank God. We have one who listens to and is one with God the Father and Son, and that's all he's going to teach you. I have had to come to this pulpit, this same chunk of wood, in times past and say, you know, when I taught you thus and so, I was wrong. The Holy Spirit is never going to have to do that. He is never wrong because he brings you that which he hears from the Father through the Son. Listen, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Everybody said, oh, you're going to show us prophecy. That ain't what that means. He shall show you things to come. He means those things of the hidden wisdom that Paul speaks of. He's talking about those things that they didn't know and couldn't perceive and understand under the old economy. They accused the Apostle Paul of saying, he said he was going to tear down Moses and his law. That's not what he said. He said, we're going to come over from the letter of the law which killeth to the spirit of the word. And we're going to develop on Moses' law, bring you on into a spiritual understanding of it, and show you that there's no way any man ever kept the law or could keep the law, that now we have to approach God by justification through faith alone in Jesus Christ. So they didn't understand. That's what gets the apostles martyred. That's what got Jesus crucified. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to understand what God was saying. But the Holy Spirit is not going to be confusing to you. He's going to make sure you understand and perceive and know these things revealed in a spiritual concept. Jesus said in John 6, 63, "My words are spirit and they are life." So when he gives you his word, he gives you his life. And when he gives you his life, he gives you his word. It's a living thing. He said, "The letter of the law killeth." It's the spirit of the word that bringeth life. Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them." John, you need to baptize me. Why? Because we must fulfill all righteousness. And he fulfilled everything that was supposed to be fulfilled that he was prophesied of. So things to come wasn't saying, "Well, one of these days they're going to come an Antichrist." That ain't what he's talking about. He's saying, "I'm going to show you and lead you into true," and I hope you'll understand this word, "true churchianity." I'm going to lead you into and through true Christianity. I'm going to bring you into that which is God's way. And while we look not at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are not seen, you're going to have to perceive and understand and know things that are not immediately visible in the tangible aspect of them. He's looking for a city. Well, where is that? Is that Jerusalem or is that Antioch? No, it's not a human city. It's not a physical city. It's not an earthly city. A city whose builder and maker is God. A city without foundations. A city, dear soul, that has no walls. It has no boundaries. He said, it's a heavenly city. See? That's what the Holy Spirit's going to show you. How to perceive and understand what God is saying to you. And that which is true Christianity. That's what he's going to do. So the necessity of the Comforter is that Jesus Christ is going to cease to be on earth and he's going to cease to speak. So we understand, and let's look at some of these, and it's going to be the same thing over and over. It'll be repetitious. Matthew 11 and verse 15. And it will go along with that Proverbs 6, 22. When you are awake or whether you're asleep, these things will teach you, will talk to you. Matthew 11 and verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, this little baby was born deaf. That's not what he's talking about. That baby can still hear. And we used to have a saying, and I didn't understand it. I thought it was stupid till I could perceive what they were talking about. They would say, "I see, saith the blind man." What he meant was he perceived and he understood. He didn't actually see. He was blind. The child is deaf. He can't hear, but he has ears to hear because the Holy Spirit is speaking to his heart. We're talking about the spiritual revelation of God. Matthew chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 13 in verse number 9. Matthew 13, verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't that something? Verse 16, Matthew 13, 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. See? He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about perceiving with an inner ear, an effectual work into the heart of man. Verse number 43 of Matthew 13. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking these things forth because he knew that none of those who were not of God's elect and not of those who were not included in his redemption would benefit from it, even though he was saying it in front of them, and they were hearing the exact same word that he was saying to his disciples. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. and verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You say, well, I know that verse. Do you really? I have had made known to me over the years in this ministry different things of religion, and one of them was those who took great pride in the memorization of scriptures. And they would meet together in a little room and quote scriptures one to another and refresh themselves so they didn't forget them. And each week they had to learn a new passage. But that's not what this is saying. And you say, well, that's great. We need to do that. We need to get a Bible memorization class. Here you go. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I memorized to my brain? No, hid in my heart. What is the result of hiding God's word in your heart that I might not sin against thee? Now, I appreciate people memorizing the scriptures. It's great. And I know that that's part of my job, is to get the scriptures into people's heads. But that ain't enough. God has to get it into their hearts. I have to pray after I preach that God will show you that which he was saying. And he will do it at his good time, maybe a week or two later. And you'll come back and say, boom, now I realize what you were saying. But it's up to the Lord to do it. And it's up to you to get it from your head to your heart and ask the Lord to make it applicable to your consciousness. Then in Psalm 119 and verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So I've hid your word in my heart to prevent me from sinning against you. I want to be in a right relationship with God. It has to be the Holy Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit necessary? Because you need to get the word in your heart. Listen, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes. I need to perceive. I need to understand. I need to have an awareness of these things. The preacher can't do it. The teacher can't do it. Your parents can't do it to your children. You can memorize all you want, but unless the Holy Spirit makes application of it and you come to understand what it means by experience, when Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life, and all of a sudden God makes it spiritual and it enlivens you and your eyes are brightened to open mine eyes and you give me understanding and I perceive things in my heart. Now I won't sin against you, and it talks to me while I am in the way. These are the things of the Spirit. Dear soul, this is the age of the Holy Spirit. The Son has gone back into heaven. He said, I can't teach you anything else. Everything that the Holy Spirit's going to teach you is that which I've already said. You can't add anything to it or take anything away from it. The thing that we need to do is understand what he meant when he said it. Hebrews chapter 5, the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and verse number 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. These were seasoned believers, but they were only seasoned in orthodoxy, in religiosity. They had the traditions of man in religion. Dear soul, some people are just as ardent and are just as devoted to football as these people might have been. Some people just is devoted to cooking. And they know what does this and what does that, and add this and it'll change the flavor, and this is what you have to do to prepare this. People are just devoted to religion, but it's not beneficial to them. Ye ought to be teachers by now, but you have need that one teach you again. We're going to have to start all over and bring it all up to you again, back to the first principles of the oracles of God. That word means utterance. And maybe this time the Holy Spirit will activate your awareness and your belief and give you faith so you might understand and perceive what is being taught you. We're not just wanting a bunch of people to get together and have a Bible club. We're trying to introduce God to you. But that can only be done by the Holy Spirit, because these people had already been through it once and it didn't take. They didn't have the oracles of God. They didn't have the utterances of God. Then God will open up their understanding. Then what I perceive, then what I know. That's what he's talking about. So we see that this is the need of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Here we go. Dear soul, I've been preaching since 1970. And I have been put in some positions that were difficult. There's one big old church I had to go preach in. You just about had to pack your lunch to go from the seat they sit you in to walk over to the pulpit. The platform was so big. And there's just a sea of faces out there, and it was scary. And my hand was shaking so bad trying to get a drink of water because my mouth was like cotton. I had to hold it with two hands. And I have learned how to get up in front of crowds. And I have learned not to be afraid, and I have learned to overcome all that stuff. But one thing I can't learn, haven't learned, never will learn, is how to make my message to be an utterance of God. I am completely and utterly hopeless in that circumstance. The only thing I can do is cry out to God all the way over to this church building, all the way into this pulpit, all the way through this lesson. Please, Holy Spirit, come and make applicable the things of the spiritual revelation of God. Please, Father, give me my egg. What father, if the son asks him for an egg, will he give him a scorpion or a serpent? How much more will the Father know to give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Please, Father, give me my egg. Give me my Holy Spirit. Let this thing be attended as the oracles of God and not just another lecture. We don't need more lectures. We need the Spirit of God to move. And dear soul, we need people who say they're Christians. And I've met some marvelous people with some unbelievable gifts. And I enjoyed being around them. But dear soul, I didn't know when I left their presence if they heard anything from God or not. I didn't know whether all that they were doing that impressed me with memorizing the scriptures or whatever was effectual to the salvation of their souls. And I wonder how many of us in what is called true, proper religious order have had the Holy Spirit speak to us and we understood who he was and what he was saying. This is the way, walk ye therein. And the preacher gets up there and says, "You can't hear from God unless I'm in this pulpit." I hope God will forgive him. I hope God will help those people that heard that to get that out of their heads and understand that they can hear from God on the way to work on I-95 or I-85 and in a traffic jam. Listen, you can hear from God sitting outside a hospital room waiting to hear what the doctor's going to say. God speaks to you. Why do you think he puts you outside that room waiting to hear what the doctor's going to say? It's there. You're there so that you can be still and know that I am God. What happened to those people that were caught in that snowstorm and in that traffic congestion? They had to spend, 30, 40 hours, I forgot how many, sitting on there on the expressway. Well, they couldn't move for hours. Why? Be still and know that I am God. Wonder how many prayers went up from that expressway. I wonder how many prayers went up from that traffic jam. I wonder how many works of the Holy Spirit came down and moved upon any of those people and caused them to understand. Listen, you say, "Well, I've got to be here." You can't be because you're there. Well, I got to get home and get supper. You ain't going nowhere. Why are you that way? And why is it that you're watching this on your TV or on your whatever, your phone or your device, and not sitting together? Because God the Holy Spirit has got something to say to you. And we haven't learned it from coming together, so we have to learn it from being separated unto God. I wish we could learn that. So we understand and see, dear soul, that this is the necessity of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has gone away and he's not going to speak to us anymore verbally. It's the Holy Spirit that must speak to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, "But unto them which are called," verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1:21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom, by its own philosophy, knew not God." The world's got some wisdom, and it's worldly philosophy, but they don't bring them to know God. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign." They was always asking for Jesus to show them a miracle. "The Greeks seek after wisdom." They went up on Mars Hill and said about Paul, "What shall this babbler say? We're used to our philosophers. We want to hear something, deep. But we preach Jesus crucified unto the Jews. It's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called." Your preaching may be to one foolishness. Your preaching may be to another as stumbling blocks. But if there's anybody that's there that's called of the Holy Spirit, whether Jew or Greek, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. You see, the same word went forth, foolishness to some, stumbling block to others. But amongst those are those who are called of God, and they see Jesus as the power of God and the wisdom of God. I was standing outside the church door in a church in a small town in Alabama, and I had just preached what had been twice, because I had preached it to our congregation, and then I preached it to theirs. It had been a blessing both times. It had been that which the Holy Spirit not only had brought to me to bring to our congregation, but impressed me to bring it to theirs. And I was standing there, and this man with his wife and about, four or five children came out the door, and I guess he didn't see me. And he said, this was a waste of time. I've heard that message over and over again. It's just another message about creation. And I said, Lord, have mercy on that poor soul. It has been a blessing to two different congregations. Not entirely, because here's one that was honest enough and vocal enough to say he didn't like it because he didn't get nothing out of it but just some old, dead, dry sermon about creation. But there were others that said, oh, how rich that made me see Christ. How wonderful it makes me see the Spirit of God creating and bringing forth. I am so thankful that you came and preached this message to us. What made the difference? Same preacher, same Bible, same outline. What made the difference? No, not what made the difference. Who made the difference? The Holy Spirit made manifest to some, but not to others. And dear soul, that's what I'm talking about. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Learn to listen to him. Learn to detect his voice within your soul. There are so many kinds of voices in this world, the Apostle Paul said. And we need to understand that there's a still, small voice. The Amplified reads, a voice of silent stillness that Elijah heard when he came out of the cave. And he covered his face with a mantle. And he understood that that was God speaking to him. There was the sound of the shaking of the mountain, an earthquake. There was the sound of the roaring of the fire as it burned. All of these great voices. But they're so... You're going to have to learn to listen to the voice of silent stillness saying in your heart, this is the way, walk ye therein. It will be a voice behind you. And everybody else in religion will be praising, Bible memorization. And you can't remember nothing. And you understand, wait a minute. You remember that time the other day when I was in the grocery store and I saw that lady or that man or whoever, and their eye caught mine and we spoke to one another, and all of a sudden there came words from my mouth of gold, words of great effect, and they received them and I was blessed, and the Lord, it was like a meeting right there in the grocery store to a stranger that I never have seen before, never will see again. How did you remember that? He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Your memory is not the one that God depends on to bring forth his truth and his testimony. It's the Holy Spirit's bringing forth from your remembrance at the time to the people what he would have you to remember. You need to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Time is slipping away from us. We are fastly moving to the end of the age. And dear soul, I encourage you, I urge you that you do all that you possibly can to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. It's not jabbering in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is regeneration, God making you alive in Christ Jesus, not speaking in languages. That's what that word means. It's not all this hyper stuff, sensationalism. That belongs to Hollywood, not to the true church. But you personally need to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit personally. And he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you. And why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said, I can't teach you anything else. Now, I'll turn it over to the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. The last thing, and I probably stayed too long on this, the last thing in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse number 17. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus Christ walked out on his church, on his apostles, on his ministry. He said, that's it. I can't teach you anymore. You're not able to bear it. It's not me that's not able to teach you. It's you that's not able to bear it. But I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. When will the Holy Spirit leave you? Never. From here throughout all eternity, he'll be yours. Listen, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This is another reason that the Holy Spirit is essential to us, because if you're of the world, you cannot receive him. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. That preacher said, you can't hear from God unless I'm in this pulpit and I'm talking to you. And the reason he said that was because he couldn't see the Holy Spirit moving on those who did know and were being revealed the things of the Lord through that crooked stick of that pastor. Listen. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The main reason we need the Holy Spirit is because Jesus has gone into heaven and he's not going to be able to speak to us anymore. But everything he did speak was the totality of God's revelation. Now the Holy Spirit comes and interprets it for us and makes application of it to our hearts. The other reason is the Holy Spirit cannot be perceived by the world because he's not tangible. In John 14, verse 21, Judas asked, how shall you show yourself to us and not unto the world? Jesus said it would be revealed to those who love him and love his word. They would have the word revealed to them sitting in the midst of a bunch of atheists or agnostics or reprobate. It's okay. It would be given to those who are of God. 1 John chapter 4. I might as well get some water. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What could I know about that man that came walking out of that church over there in Alabama with his wife and kids that said, I don't like that. Wasn't nothing to that, just old dead dry sermon on creation. Number one, he did not hear me. Why did he not hear me? He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I prayed for that man. I prayed for him then, that God would open his eyes, and he may have been quickened since then. That's been years back. But I hope he came to know God. But dear soul, Jesus said, they that will not hear you will not have heard me. You understand that? That if Jesus Christ himself was preaching that same message, they wouldn't hear him either. He that heareth you will hear me. And he that doesn't hear you won't hear me. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Number one, Jesus is not with us and he's not teaching us anything anymore. Number two, those that are preaching need to understand and perceive and know that it's the Holy Spirit that makes application of their words to people who are those chosen of God. Revelation 12, we go there a lot these days, a blessed chapter. Revelation 12, what happens to that word that only the elect can hear? Revelation 12, verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. He dilutes the world with disinformation, with lies, with false truths, with a false gospel about a false Jesus. And what happens to that? That he may cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. What happened to all that demon word? What happened to all that word that was not beneficial to the church? The earthly ones, they that are of the earth are earthy, unregenerate, religious, but lost, don't have any created work of God in their souls. The earth, the lost people, the harlot church swallows up all of that. That's what happens to it. That which is not made applicable by the Holy Spirit to the hearts and minds of God's true people, those people who come and preach false Christ and false gospel and so forth, the world swallows it up. Got a man in our area that preaches that if you give us $5, God will give you back 10. And he preaches a social gospel that, you know, you invest in God and give us your money, God will give you back, you know, 100-fold. And he has got a huge church following. Lives in a huge mansion not too many miles away from my house. They have to have the Atlanta police force come down and direct traffic on Sundays when they meet because there's so many people pile in there. And he's a pretty smart cookie. Every once in a while, he'll buy a new car without the church knowing it. And he'll give it to somebody and say, look what happened to old so-and-so. They put in $1,000 and look what God gave them, a brand new car. That draws in the earth, swallowing this up. I thank God that we don't have the appetite for that, and the Lord doesn't allow us to be involved in that. I don't know what else I want to read you. Let me read you in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 26, and we'll close up. Colossians 1:26. Wherefore I am a minister according to the dispensation of God, this is 25, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hidden, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Paul said, these things that I'm preaching unto you, I'm a minister according to the dispensation. This is the time when God would have it revealed to fulfill the word of God. This mystery has been hid from all ages and from all generations, but is now made manifest. Dear soul, this is the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing forth these mysteries. That's what Jesus meant when he said, he shall show you things to come. Again, he wasn't talking about fulfilling prophecy. He was talking about bringing forth the fulfillment of what God meant when he said these things that have already been written down, that have already had the amen put to them. that have already had the "so be it" put to it. It's over. It's done. Don't add anything to this. Okay, but how do we understand what we do have? The Holy Spirit will come. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. And dear soul, I'm thankful to you that you have had the age of doctrine. You have had the age of study. You have had the age of memorizing scriptures. And you have come to understand so many things. But now, why can you not get out and go where you want? Why can we not meet together? This is the age of the Holy Spirit is making sure that everything is blocked that you used to use, that I used to use, that we used to use, to enjoy fellowship with one another and left off God. Get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Pray. Meditate. Ask God to leave you blocked on the expressway in a snowstorm for 30 hours, if that's what it takes to bring you to a meditating awareness of the Holy Spirit. God grant that it might be. Thank you for your attention.